Hello, welcome to Sounds from the Ziggurat Podcast, Episode 6, your fortnightly dose of tunes and nostalgia from the Brighton music scene of the 2000s. I have no intention of starting the show with a confused rant like I did last week. That's not to say I won't air my opinions on the podcast in the future, but for anything specific going forward, I'll probably confine them to a YouTube video on the channel. Probably. This week's episode of Sounds from the Ziggurat Podcast will feature some more great tracks from lost local bands, a track from a current Brighton singer-songwriter, and also some of my thoughts on the Brightona Bike Festival that happened on the 13th of October. Unfortunately, there is some sad news I must cover before moving on to our first track. Sticky Mike's Frog Bar, purveyor of live music in the city, will be shutting its doors on the 31st of December 2018. Its closure, as with many venues we have lost over the years, does not come as a surprise. But then that gives us all the more reason to get something done about it now, to prevent it happening to any more. The Music Venue Trust shared a post regarding the closure and how attitudes towards grassroots music venues have to change to have any hope of continual service. Alarmingly, they cite figures comparing the investment needed to what the Royal Opera House receives in grants every year. They say Sticky Mike's Frog Bar could have been saved for the price of just 2 days, 2 days worth of the grant given to the Royal Opera House every year. Think about that, 2 days. The average level of subsidy these venues get in Europe is 35% of gross turnover. The average level of subsidy UK venues get is 0%, nothing. Last year, these venues faced an average business rates increase of 38%. Personally, I don't have a clue what any of that means, but I know it's bad. I've enjoyed many nights down at Sticky Mike's. Playing with Gaz Marlow from In Me on his solo material at Gone 1am in the morning for an Oxjam show was one of the highlights. Another highlight was a show played by one of my previous bands, Fair Weather Heroes, where we kept getting electrocuted whilst singing into the microphones. Sticky Mike's also laid out a great and diverse selection of club nights, and even on a quieter evening it still retained an atmosphere and general good vibe amongst the clubbers. The Music Venue Trust's Facebook post ends by saying, "To all the team at Sticky Mike's, past and present, thank you. You created an incredible space that meant something positive to so many people. We're sorry that, in the end, you couldn't fight on and we couldn't help you. Only the government, the music industry and the cultural sector can do that. It's time for everyone to listen and act." Check out the Music Venue Trust on Facebook and also at musicvenuetrust.com. This week's first track is a heavy one from Here There Be Monsters. I chose to open the show with them because it was a post by them that led me to the sad news about Sticky Mike's. Apparently this is where the band played their last show before going on hiatus, only to reform once more for a Mammoth Fest show at the Prince Albert in 2016. Their final gig is available as a download on their Bandcamp, alongside other releases such as Inherent. The band were born from two other behemoths of the metal scene in the 2000s. Naked Ape and Risen were both notable acts that I'll hopefully feature on a future instalment of the podcast. One of my regrets during this period was not going to see Here There Be Monsters enough. I can't quite attribute or remember a reason for this. Maybe they're one of those bands that have gigs whenever I already have something in the diary. I have this relationship with Enos too. Either that, or I was still bitter following the decline of my previous band, and perhaps entered a self-imposed ban on watching others enjoy themselves and kick ass on stage for a bit, whilst I rediscovered my acoustic guitar and the whiny self-indulgence that goes with it. The song Trojans from the EP Inherent, recorded at Ironwork Studios, was featured on the Best Unsigned UK Metal CD, given away with Metal Hammer magazine, and the band toured with Southampton Thrash Metalers Terrathon to support the EP through April 2010. In 2011, the band shared a stage with a number of touring artists, including Black Breath, The Mire, Animals as Leaders and Exit 10. Exit 10 are another band I want to dig up for the podcast. I have a vague memory of watching them play on a flatbed truck at local green space and after Gloucester Hijink facilitator the level, but this could be incorrect. You can find the Facebook page for Here There Be Monsters at htbmuk and of course heretherebemonsters.bandcamp.com for the tunes. Prepare your ear holes, this is Canine vs Feline.
Much as I hope. You think you got it all. You think you can throw it all away. You think you're safe and secure. Well, you're wrong. Canine
The second track we are going to hear is a first. Well, a first, in fact, is the second time that we've heard Cockwomble on the podcast. My buddies Adam Pyman had been rehearsing for one of our epic birthday cover band shows under the moniker Elvis Pyman and the Rocker Hooladz, and thankfully finished just in time to get down to the pipeline to see Cockwomble and some of the excellent support act they had called Goals. This was to release Cockwomble's second EP, All of the Money, None of the Style, which again came on CD. Although unfortunately I did not pick one up for myself as I forgot to take cash in with me. However, I'll be going to, and I insist you do too, cockwomble.bigcartel.com to pick up their CDs and perhaps also one of their nifty black t-shirts. We had a fantastic time at the gig and I look forward to seeing them rock out again soon. This is Punkin' Address. I'm writing this section the day after the Brightona Bike Festival down on Brighton Seafront. Hundreds of leather-clad bikers from all walks of life convene on Madeira Drive to admire roaring engines, custom hardware and eclectic characters. Of course, the festival is open to all too, and I usually try to go each year to drink an hour and listen to the acts they have playing on two or three stages. A lot of these acts are cover bands, including one my friend Sarah plays in called Deadbeat Angels, who rock. I'm a bit concerned with the growing number of cover songs crawling into sets of local musicians' repertoires, with someone justifying my concern the other day by telling me that's how they have to keep the audience interested. But for a biker festival, it was pretty rad. I was discussing this with a friend last night and how and why the scene has changed over the past few years, and hopefully I'll be discussing that in a future episode. I am also informed that there was some new material played earlier in the day, but I was still sleeping off the Guinness from the Saturday before, after meeting my brother in town for a snack at my pal Julian's shack, Brighton Burger. I did get talking to one of the artists who played the earlier stage, and later found her on Instagram to ask how she got the gig, because I wouldn't mind making inquiries for my solo stuff or the possible return of Empyrean. Well, half of Empyrean, possibly. Unfortunately for me, she was headhunted apparently, so I'll have to look elsewhere for an entry point. Any advice is more than welcome. Brightona seemed to go well, only marred by the drab October weather, which is not actually that characteristic for the year so far. Today, for example, is a bright sunny day, and I've just sweated my nut off carrying a large box of beer back from the post office in town. I think there could be some improvements. For example, one of the stages overran by at least half an hour, because bands were only given a couple of minutes to change over. A few more collection buckets would be good too, but I assume this is a volunteer system and perhaps they were constrained by that. I might look into doing it next year myself. A slightly amusing story from the day was when a lady gave Sarah and I flyers for upcoming acts at the Concord. She greeted me with a classic line, "Were you with the Druids the other night?" Which always fills me with dread as I feel my stomach start to knot. Apparently I was looking lost while my friends had gone outside for a cigarette and she engaged me in a brief chat. All was well and my stomach went back to DEFCON 5. Overall, I had fun, and I'll be sure to make more of a day of Brightona next year, I think. Another thing that happened was that I bumped into my dear friends Moog, Lou, and their daughter Daisy, who was rocking out to Deadbeat Angels. Moog, of course, is head specimen of Rapscallion, which you may have heard on the first episode of the podcast. I conducted a thorough interview with him about bikes.
Hello, Moog, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Rise of the Cigarette Podcast.
What brings you down to Brightona today?
I'd like to look at some motorcycles.
Do you have a motorcycle of your own?
I do, I have a motorcycle of my own.
Does it go fast?
Not especially.
If that interview was not enough for you, I'll be welcoming Moog to the Ziggurat in November to discuss what he was up to in the noughties before Rapscallion. We are having two newer tracks on the podcast today. The next is from Anika Brown. I had the pleasure of meeting Anika when we were playing a charity gig in Horsham recently for my friends at Hospital Radio Crawley. Anika played a sublime acoustic set, dismissing some of the ignorant and rude jibes from a small number of locals who no doubt felt we had invaded their pub. She had her two young girls with her, who throughout her set handed out flyers with Anika's contact details on and occasionally rushed Mum at the stage with their thumbs up to tell her she was doing a good job. I had never seen anything quite like it, and it provided a sweet interlude during a day of eclectic acts and loud, obnoxious football fans. Which, admittedly, I usually am myself, but not in a situation where someone is performing and pouring their heart out on stage, no matter how irritating it was when Liverpool went down to Chelsea 1-0. Bastards. Find Anika on anikabrown.net, but you might need to give her a nudge if you use her contact form, as mine went into her spam folder. Unless she was trying to ignore me, of course, but she seems lovely, so let's assume not. This track is called The Past.
The past cannot be so easily buried. There'll always be dirt under your nails. And the grass won't grow back where you've been digging. Every seed you place in the dark patch fails. And you try, and you try, and you try, and you fail. The past cannot be shoved into the closet. There's always some hand and a hand sticking out. And you get that sinking feeling each time you pass it. And a nervous breakdown when there's people around. And you nervously break, and you break down. There's rats everywhere. Every now and then I scream and I holler, simply love giving my jailer a scare. You can turn up the music, but I am still there. You can turn up the music, but I am not still there.
Our next track is another heavy one from Soundcore. I met two of the chaps in Soundcore through our mutual friend when I was brought on board to play bass in their later band, Tapehead. Active between 2002 and 2007, Joseph and Stuart met at BIM and bonded over a shared love of rock and metal bands such as Iron Maiden, Metallica, and Motley Crue. Joseph brought in Matt on vocals, and a healthy amount of bassists were tried out before they welcomed Jim into the band, after the recording of their EP. Matt describes his lyrics as ambiguously about confusion of self, or often relationship shit, disguised as a song. I can identify with Matt when he says that he would often not know exactly what he was writing about until partway through the creative process. He would work on the lyrics and discover the emotion behind it as he went along. They recorded their EP in the legendary Scream Studios, which is now part of Brighton Electric. My band once put on a Christmas gig at Scream Studios after being let down by the manager of the Gloucester last minute. Scream's live performance room was a perfect fit for a party atmosphere and beer-based bands. Although we did have to sell the beer via the medium of a raffle, as this was a way to circumnavigate the licensing laws. The list of venues that Soundcore played tick off the usual Brighton boxes, but apparently they started out on one of the biggest stages, the Concord 2, thanks to an online competition they were selected for. To play the Concord 2 as one's first gig would have been quite incredible. If you want to find out some more music from Soundcore, Stu tells me that there's an old MySpace knocking about, or alternatively there are some tracks on YouTube somewhere. Nowadays, all being fathers, things have changed inevitably for ex-members of Soundcore. Joseph runs Demiurge Instruments, making custom guitars and effects pedals, which you can find on Facebook. Jim now lives in Canada, still playing bass but moving more towards the mixing and production side for other artists, and Matt took some time away from playing music, but has now started to make the initial waves to get stuck back in. Stuart played drums for various cover bands before committing to a few years with Originals act Turbo Lovers, influenced by the likes of Van Halen and Steel Panther. He now plays in Riversun, a post-grunge rock band which will be gigging Brighton very soon, so keep an eye out. This track is called Picking My Way. That was episode 6 of Sounds from the Ziggurat podcast. Please get in touch via my Twitter, @_Ziggurat, or pop over to the Facebook page and send me a message. Back in the real world, I've recently lost my job, so I'm not sure if that will mean a break in the podcast for a while, or whether I have so much time going into horrendous debt that I'll be churning out 20 of them a week. before I have to desperately trade my gear into cash converters, of course. We'll see. Thanks for listening.